We've got a slight problem.
What's the matter?
It's Billy. Ever since he found out Roy Worley is today's guest, he's been asking, questions.
What could he possibly need to know?
Mom, where do voiceover actors come from?
Oh. I better get my manual. But first, a commercial.
Attention, rebels of the Sure Pollution. Today's podcast is being brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/Sherpa. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And now Mr. Bruce will lead you into the Sherpa Chalet. As a reminder, please don't disturb the yak.
Coming to you from Sherpa Chalet in beautiful downtown Mount Podcastia, it's time for entertainment interviews in the Sherpa Screening Room. Grab an aisle seat and a bucket of popcorn, but don't crunch too loud or you'll miss the show. Now, here's your host, Jim, the podcast Sherpa.
Hello there, Rebels, and welcome to the Sherpa Screening Room, a production of Too Many Podcasts and Sherpa Loo Studios. The gang is all here at the Sherpa Chalet, and we're saying hello. So, if you remember a while back, I had a guy named Ray Rumsey on, and he hosts a podcast called The Leo Effects, and I was actually lucky enough to be on his podcast as well. And if you listen to that podcast, you'll hear a very distinctive voice at the beginning of the show. And that's a guy named Roy Worley. And I was lucky enough to have Roy for a guest this week. I didn't even realize that I had recorded our interview several months back. I said, what am I doing? We have to get this one out on the show. Roy is a super nice guy, lives in the Midwest, really down to earth. And he offered a lot of advice for people who want to get into the voiceover business as well. I know a lot of people have been looking into that. And I really like the advice that he had to give. And like I said, super nice guy. Let's head over to the conference room in the Sherpa Chalet. And we'll hear what he had to say. Hello, Rebels. The next voice that you hear, well, aside from mine, would be that of my guests. He is a voiceover artist, and he's gladly welcomed into the Sherpa Chalet to talk a little bit about his career, and we'll get to know him. And maybe you've heard his voice, depending on where you live in the United States or maybe internationally. But let's just say hello to Mr. Roy Worley. How you doing, Roy? How are you doing?
Hey, Jim. Yeah, it's a tongue twister. Roy Worley. Yeah, I use my own name for warm-up exercises. Doing well. Doing well from the Chicagoland area here.
So, tell me a little bit about yourself, Roy.
Well, I'm been married to the same woman for 43 years. We have three grown daughters, six grandchildren, one grand cat, one grand dog. Live outside of Chicago, about 40 minutes in New Lenox, Illinois. And I've been doing voiceover work from my basement, where I have a professional studio. For about 9 years now, and love it. So I tell people when they ask me what I do, I say, well, basically I work underground in a padded room and talk to myself all day. And sometimes I get paid for it.
So what got you into this field?
You know, when I was 55, I'm 63 now, made a career change to, I'm also an ordained minister. And when I was about 55, I needed to take a break from ministry. Just for health reasons. I had a mild heart attack, needed to take a step back and take a look at some things. It had nothing to do with my beliefs, but just the stress and things like that. So, needing to continue paying the bills, I started exploring what other possibilities there were before me. And since my voice changed when I was about, I don't know, age three, people have said, hey, you've got a voice for radio. And those that know me said, well, you got a face for it too, which comes in handy. And so I thought, well, you know, there's got to be a way to get paid to use the voice that God gave me, other than preaching. And so I began to explore voiceover. Didn't even know what it was called. I just knew that there were guys and gals out there that did radio commercials and TV commercials and It turns out there's so much more to voiceover than just commercials. I started exploring it and got in. The first thing that I actually started doing was audiobooks. And after auditioning for a few audiobooks through a platform called ACX.com, which is owned and operated by Amazon.com, ACX stands for Audiobook Creation Exchange, where rights holders, authors, and narrator producers like myself can come together and create audiobooks, which are then turned around and sold on Audible.com, which everyone has heard of, also owned by Amazon. They're also sold on iTunes. So that's just the nutshell version of how I got into it. Then I kind of got into it backwards, really and truly. You should get some coaching first and have professional demos created and have a professional website and go at it from that angle. But eventually I did all of those things.
Has anyone ever come to you from your church, from your congregation, and say, didn't I hear your voice doing a commercial on the radio?
You know, sometimes one of my biggest clients is a local hospital. I hate to say chain, for lack of a better word. It's not that they're in retail, but there is a hospital network, if you will, next door to us in Indiana, and they have a presence here in the Chicagoland area as well with at least one hospital and a number of clinics. And I've done some television spots for them and radio spots, and sometimes I will have people say that, yeah.
Sooner or later, you can be one of those guys at the movies, right?
You mean that does the movie trailers?
Yeah.
I would love to do that. But, you know, there are about five guys in the whole country that do most of those. And they all live in L.A., I think. So, but, yeah, that would be nice. It'd be a sweet gig to get.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can just imagine the conversation that those guys have.
There was
traffic on the 401.
Yeah. You know, I like to play around with it. I also do intros and outros for podcasts. I said audiobooks. There's another very large spoke in the voiceover wheel. By that, I mean it's a growing industry called e-learning. You might know it as computer-based training. And boy, it's like a couple of billion-dollar a year industry, and a lot of people. I've done a lot of that kind of work as well. You know, where you're doing some training, reading a script that somebody has to sit there and listen to, and we try to make it entertaining. A lot of times, back when these things first started, they would use non-professionals to do the voiceover, to do the voice for the training. And people would say, I hate that stuff. Oh, man, that's so boring. Well, we try very hard as professionals to make it a little more entertaining, more conversational.
I remember a while back, I had an interview with my voiceover guy, Mr. Bruce, as we call him, Bruce Goldberg. And he was in Australian radio for many years.
Oh, wow, nice.
And he did a lot of voiceover for TV commercials and stuff.
Yeah.
And he would say, Jim, you know, a 30-second spot doesn't take me 30 seconds to record. He said it could take me hours or days, you know, because, you know, the client wants it done in a very specific way.
You know, that's true. I was about 6 or 7 times a year, I will book something through my talent agent in Chicago, Big Mouth Talent Agency, and it will require me to travel into the city to one of the big recording studios. Last year, I had a series of radio spots that I did for I believe it was a sandwich shop, well-known sandwich shop or chain in the Boston area. And I get booked for things that, you know, sometimes have a gruff sound or because I have a baritone voice, something that calls for that. So I went into ARU Studios in Chicago, and they recorded remotely through a thing called ISDN. I don't remember what that stands for, but it's like they're right there in the studio. And that was the longest session I ever had. I was in there a couple of hours because the client kept wanting retake after retake after retake. And it wasn't that I was doing it badly. It's just they kept imagining, oh, well, what if you said it like this? Or what if you said it like that? And so when I was done, boy, I was pretty tired. But it, you know, it's part of the job. You do that to service your client and please your client. So I was happy to do it.
the end always has to please the client, because
that's right.
That's where the paycheck is coming from.
That's right. Exactly right.
So what does somebody have to do if they wanted to get into the field of doing voiceovers? What's the safest route for them?
I never thought about it in terms of safest, but I think if by that you mean what's the wisest route to go,
right.
I would say this. A lot of people have written me across the years, seeing me on social media or hearing some interview that I've done with someone, and they'll say, you know, I was told that I have a good voice, and I'm thinking about voiceover. What do you think? And I said, well, you know, a good voice is not a bad start, but it's not what's going to make you a voice artist. It really does take a lot of work. And it's funny, because when you tell people that you do audiobooks, a lot of times, I know one of the guys in the industry is my coach, Sean Pratt. He's very good. He's recorded over 1,000 audiobooks. And he was at a cocktail party or something recently in the last few months. He put this up on Facebook, and he was telling someone that he records audiobooks, and they said, what, like I read bedtime stories to my kids? And let me tell you, for one finished hour of audiobook to be market ready, it can take 4 to 6 hours of production to get it to that point. So no, it's not like reading bedtime stories to your children. It's much more involved. So to answer your question, I would tell people that you need to find a reputable coach, and there are some good ones out there. Over in your neck of the woods, so to speak, there's a place called Edge Studios. You can find them online. I think they're based out of New York or New Jersey, over there, not too far from you. And they have some classes you can take. A lot of colleges are offering, some community colleges are offering an intro into voiceover. And then, you know, you can find a coach that'll help you walk through the production of your first demo. In order to be taken seriously in the industry, you have to be able to interpret copy correctly. If a client sends you an audition or a piece of copy they want read, you have to interpret that correctly and try to read the signals and the cues within the copy that tell you what needs to be done and how it needs to be read and what emotion and pacing should be there. And so a good coach will teach you that. Then you need to have a professionally made demo, at least in the beginning of your career, until you can know your way around your computer and your recording software and all of that. There are some good people out there that can make demos. Some are pretty expensive. Some are less expensive, but it does cost money. And most people will start off with a commercial demo. In other words, you'll record a piece of copy that you probably haven't even done the job yet when you're starting off. And say you'll read a piece of copy that your coach says, I think this is within your range and your wheelhouse. Go ahead and read this copy. I'll coach you through it. And then, you know, the person that creates the demo will, you know, have you doing it. And what one of my coaches said is, your demo is, it shows what kind of work you can do and what kind of work you want more of. So you have to do that. A website's essential. You've got to have a website. That's your billboard to the world. And because of search engine optimization, Google and all of that stuff, sometimes you'll be found in that regard easily. But in today's world, I'd say less than 1% of my work actually comes through my talent agents. It comes through persistent work of marketing yourself to video production companies and e-learning production companies, all of that kind of thing, just to say, here I am, would you listen to my demo? The last time I marketed was a couple of weeks ago, so shame on me, I should be doing it daily. And I marketed just video companies in Texas. And I sent them an email saying, here's who I am and what I do. And by the way, here's my newest commercial demo, which is on my website. But I sent that demo as an attachment. I sent out about six emails to six companies that day, and I got one response. And the person said, you know, hey, I like your work. I've put you on the roster. When we have something that fits your voice, we'll give you a call. We'll send you an audition. So that's it's more involved than people would think. It's not just as easy as sitting at your kitchen table with a microphone, which you should never do. You've got to have a quality recording space, and that might be the inside of a walk-in closet filled with clothes. A lot of people start in their closet, believe it or not, successful people. But I was blessed to be able to create a room in my basement with a recording booth that I built myself. I'm kind of handy that way and found a plan online and built it, and it's where I do my work.
So it's almost like being an actor, even though you're not worrying about being, you know, where you're standing. It's just all coming from your voice.
You know, that's true. We do call ourselves voice actors. I really wish that I'd had a little more of an acting background. The only thing I was in was a couple of plays in high school. If you're going to be successful, you do need to learn how to do some acting. One of the things that I've been taught by coaches is that, you know, emotion, the proper emotion will come from the proper gestures in your booth. Now, I'm 6'3 and 265 pounds, so I'm a big guy. I built this booth. It's only 4 feet by 6 feet and 7 feet high. And, you know, I get in there and I try to move my arms. My arms are banging the side of the booth. So when you're building your booth, you need to think in terms of size, but you do need to gesture to get the proper emotion, you know. So it is acting.
About your voice, I mean, this isn't meant to be a critique or anything like that. No. Do most of these companies that are doing the advertising, do they like a voice that doesn't sound too, I'm trying to think of the right word, too regionalized? Like maybe not somebody with a New York accent necessarily, maybe more like a middle America?
They really want more of a neutral accent and more of a conversational accent. Mm-hmm. The thing that is a hurdle that I have to overcome many times is that I am from the South. And so, you know, if they want something that's more Midwestern, I can do that, but I have to really focus on it and get rid of the Southern accent. But sometimes a job will call for it. Like I've narrated a number of audiobooks that are Westerns. So when I do that, then I flip a switch and I'm a cowboy all of a sudden, you know? So it's a part of the acting thing. So sometimes you will see auditions that say, hey, I want a Brooklyn accent or a Boston accent or a Southern accent, which is kind of crazy because there are about 14 different Southern accents, depending on the state, what part of the state you're in, you know? So
absolutely. Texas and Florida, yeah. Different sounds.
Exactly.
I figured let's try a little experiment. If you could give me like a little voiceover lesson. So what things that I would need to know, because I have to record commercials for Anchor and stuff like that. So
Yeah. Well, if your sponsors are asking you to record, many times what you'll find is a challenge, especially like on radio shows and maybe podcasts, is a client will try to cram more words into that 30-second spot than there's really space for, right? I see you nodding. That's exactly the problem.
They can hear me nodding. It rattles when they hear that.
Yeah. The brains are kind of backing against you. I get it all the time, yeah. You know, that's a challenge because you have to take a deep breath and you have to then, you know, just kind of rattle it out. And that doesn't leave much space for pauses and emotion and things like that, but that's just part of the business. So when the client says, no, I don't want 120 words in the 60-second spot, I want 200 words. Well, good luck with that. But the thing is that, you know, when you're doing things, I would say go online, find some people that kind of fit your voice range, that are professionals, listen to them. And if you get frustrated, you know, and that's not what you want to do, then hire a professional. One of the things you could do as a podcaster is to say to your clients is, look, you know, I've got a professional guy or a professional gal in the wings that can really add a professional flavor to these if you want to go that route. You know, so that's another option for you.
Yeah, I remember the first time I tried recording an ad, and I think they wanted it 30 seconds, recorded it, minute and a half.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happens is they many times will look at the price tag and say, well, for that money, I want as much information in there as I can get. And that's almost always a mistake. because what would be so much more powerful is to get a succinct message in there with the name of your company that has the correct emotion. There's a advertising company out there in Granite City, Utah, I believe. Can't remember the gentleman's name, but it's called Slow Burn Marketing or Slow Burn Advertising. And they define your brand. You hear a lot about branding. A lot of people think, well, my brand is my logo. No, I agree with him. Your brand is how your clients feel about you. And so a commercial needs to create something that causes your client or your potential customers to feel good about you and feel good enough about you and your product to buy your service or your product.
Makes sense. So out of the clients that you've worked for, were there any particularly memorable experiences for you?
Just, you know, the most recent things that I've done, you know, I do a lot of on-hold messaging, you know, like, thank you for holding. We'll be right with you.
And
like,
that was you?
Yeah. Like I mentioned earlier, the Franciscan Alliance Hospitals, I'm doing all of theirs. They've got so many places to go. And now I've gotten through the east side of the state of Indiana. Now we're going to the other and doing that. And then by the time I get done, sometimes they'll change doctors and they'll call, they'll hit me back and say, can you redo this? Because now we got new doctors and things like that. So that's nice. That's pretty good. But as far as a national ad, no, I haven't done that yet. Those are kind of like the big prize. Because when you do a national ad, especially if it's a union job, SAG-AFTRA is the actors union. And when you do one of those, then, you know, that generates residuals every time it's played. X number of dollars is paid to whoever does it. If the person, you see a lot of celebrities doing it, they get celebrity scale, which is a whole bunch more money.
Sure.
So that's why they do that a lot. That's why you see actors doing commercials on television commercials, because they get paid big bucks for that. And for trained actors, you know, that's, it's also good exposure. Keeps them in front of the camera.
Yeah. And a lot of them do it overseas as well, too, I know.
Yeah, yeah. They, and, you know, obviously they've got the platform because people see them in the movies and then they go on and do a television commercial, right? And a radio spot or whatever. And gets them more exposure.
Do you have a dream gig? I mean, if you were given your choice of, okay, Roy, you can do the voice on this, would there be anything in?
I think I would like to. One of my goals is actually to get into promo work, you know, like coming this Friday on CBS, you know, that kind of stuff. Because while the big networks certainly have people that they prefer right now, and there's some really good actors, male and female voice actors that are doing promo work. Because of the advent of cable, then there's, you know, there's promo work for everyone out there.
Sure.
And I've got a promo demo. I just don't have an agent right now that sends me auditions for promos. And because I live in the Chicago area, Chicago is known for commercial production. So, you know, that's, it's kind of like you need to try to major on whatever city you're in, what their production is. Like, you know, Chicago is that. Out on the West Coast in LA, there's a lot of what's called animation or cartoons, video games, maybe more documentaries. And that's another thing. That, to answer your question, one of my goals this year is to create a new demo for documentaries and start marketing myself for that. That's something I want to get into. I think I can do it. I know I can do
it. See, now everybody that's listening to this podcast and hearing your voice, they're going to be like, wait a minute, I heard this guy in an interview.
You know, maybe so. I've done some work for like Firestone a couple of years running. I did a total of 24 videos, 12 each year, that feature Mario Andretti, the famed race car driver. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool promotional stuff for Firestone. And it was more like kind of a gag type thing where they would have Mario on camera. And maybe he's sitting at the breakfast table in a white robe and, you know, they got a little Firestone logo behind him on the wall. It's like it's in a mansion. It was actually shot in a mansion in the Chicago area, all these were. And it would go like, Not many people can beat Mario Andretti with a steering wheel in their hand. But what about drinking a glass of milk? And then it'll show him chugging a glass of milk and timing it. Say, beat Mario in your time and send it in. If you win, you get these prizes, you know, that kind of stuff. So crazy stuff like peeling an orange and wrapping a vacuum cleaner cord and folding laundry, all kinds of stuff. It's a lot of fun, you know, and they may still be online on YouTube. So that was something I did.
I'll have to check those out. Now, yeah. you said that you do have a website, and that has samples of your different types of work.
Yeah, it's Roy Worley, W-O-R-L-E-Y, V as in Victor, O as in Oscar, .com. Roy Worley, V-O.com. And that's where I have samples of demos. My commercial demo, my e-learning demo, my promo demo, to name a few, radio imaging demo, things like that.
And people can contact you if they wanted you to do, just go right through your website. Or should they email
you? Absolutely. I work directly with people all the time. In fact, I was contacted last year by the University of California at San Diego. They found me online. And they have had me narrate probably at this point, I'm thinking 4 to 6 videos about the developments they're creating in their neuroscience department with, what's it called, gene therapy or something like that. And so there are more of those to come this year. So, yeah, I've been found online by some folks.
That's really great. And like I said, you know, people are going to notice your voice, you know, especially if they hear any other commercials soon at some point or.
Right.
So, but it's funny because somebody said to me when they heard the first couple of episodes of my podcast, they said that I sounded like a smooth jazz DJ.
You know, that's funny that I did a podcast intro for a guy not too long ago, and he actually chose some smooth jazz background music, and he said, I want you to do the intro with that, you know. And it was more like, hey, good to hear you folks tonight. Come on in, grab a cocktail, kick your feet up, and listen to the podcast. That was a lot of fun to do. I like that. So, yeah. I mean, you have an interesting voice. I think, you know, when people, it's fascinating to me, Jim, that we've gotten to a point, I think we've come full circle. You remember before television, people listened to radio episodes of dramas and comedies and things like that, and the family would gather around. Well, now everybody's individual. Now they've got their earbuds in, and they're listening sometimes to podcasts and audiobooks. I actually just finished listening to an audiobook today. Fiction. One of my favorite authors is Clive Cussler.
Oh, yeah.
And I love him and his group of writers that work with him. He's a whole franchise. They're fast-paced and very interesting, well-developed characters, and a very, very notable voice talent named Scott Brick. He's a much sought-after audiobook narrator. I think has probably narrated every single one of them. And Scott is a great narrator for audiobooks, and I was listening, not only because I like Clive Cussler, but I was listening to get an education. How can I do better as an audiobook narrator? You know, so it's cool.
Sure.
And, you know, people hear, like I was saying, they hear your voice, they listen to us, and when they find somebody that, like yourself, that's, you know, interesting and has interesting podcasts, they'll tune in and listen. And I think it's kind of an interesting phenomenon that we've kind of come full circle, so to speak.
As long as I'm not getting Apple reviews that say, he scared me, I had to throw my phone in the garbage.
Oh, yeah, you don't want those. Yeah. Boy, that's a bad review.
That could be a little trouble.
Bad reviews. You know, I was looking at reviews on audiobooks that I've done. And you can go on Audible if you're looking at an audiobook that you're thinking about buying. You can see reviews. And like many times, I've done a couple of audiobooks, nonfiction audiobooks that were produced by HarperCollins, Harper Audio publishers are one of the big five. And these were written by guys that are well known across the country for one reason or another. And you look at the reviews and, you know, you might have 20 five-star reviews and 3 or 4 star reviews. And typically those people don't do the written reviews. The people that do the written reviews is the one guy that didn't like your work and he gave you a 1-star or 2-star review and he'll put something up there and you go, wow, thank you very much. But that's the way it is. You can't please everybody, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny when you were talking about coming full circle, I know with radio, because people I've known, there were as many podcasts as there are right now, I've come across people who were like, well, what is a podcast? And for the older folks, I can say, do you remember radio shows when you were a kid? Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That's it.
Now it's on your phone. And they're like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah, it's funny that we still call them phones, right? Because I've got so many apps on my phone. It's, you know, the phone is the thing I use the least. People of my generation actually like to talk on the phone. But I've had people text me of younger generations. I go, oh, great, they just texted me. And then I'll call them and they don't answer. It's like, you know, they keep talking on the phone. They'll tell me, I hate talking on the phone. Okay.
The phone app on your phone is the most obsolete.
Unless you want to talk to somebody your own age.
That's right. All right, folks. Roy Worley, can we have the name of the website again, please? And we'll put it on the show notes.
Thank you so much. It's RoyWorleyVO.com. RoyWorleyVO.com.
Could you do a send out? Just say you've been listening to too many podcasts.
You've been listening to too many podcasts.
Thank you so much, Roy.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
A very special thanks to Mr. Roy Worley for swinging by the Sharper Chalet and giving us some good advice about the world of voiceover work. Hey, you know what? This isn't the only episode this week. We've got 2 more coming your way. Tomorrow, we will be speaking with horror director Colin Bressler about his career in horror movies and his life as a cameraman in reality TV. Really good stuff there. And after that, the next day, we will be talking to the host of the Binge Watchers podcast, Mr. John May. And he talks a lot about movies and the movie-going experience. I think you're really going to like to hear what he has to say. You can hear this show on any podcast app. Just look for Too Many Podcasts. Bing! Add it and subscribe. And you can also listen on my website, SherpaLution.com. And SherpaLution is a good word because if you use it, you can follow me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. I'm there. I'm everywhere. Just a busy guy. Okay, Mr. Bruce, show them why you are the man at the Sherpa Screening Room and Too Many Podcasts. Thank you very much, sir, for showing everybody the door. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sherpa Screening Room. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. I'm Mr. Bruce, and this has been a Sherpaloo Studios production. Viva la Sherpalution!